today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
You can't just say, I believe in Jesus, and you have this strange concept of Jesus who just says, live the way you want to, do whatever you want to. You don't have to die to yourself or do anything the scripture says, as long as you believe I'm around. That would be false doctrine. That would be wrong, because Jesus never said that. In fact, on the contrary, he said, if you don't pick up your cross and deny yourself and follow me, there's no way for you to be my disciple. You cannot claim with all of your heart to say, I'm going to be your disciple, Lord, and not pick up your cross, die to you, and follow me.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Did you know that there are those in the church who are worshiping a Jesus that is not the Jesus of the Bible? If you pick and choose scriptures about Jesus that you want to live by and leave out the rest, you're in fact creating an idol in your own image. If you don't believe all the Bible has to say about Jesus, and you don't obey his commandments yet come to church, you may be worshiping a false Jesus. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, verse 5, with part one of our message entitled, Beware of Bad Doctrine.
Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. Let's read it. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, oh, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. A.W. Tozer said, to believe on Christ savingly in a way that would save you means to believe the right things about Christ. There is no escaping this. So you can't just say, I believe in Jesus, and you have this strange concept of Jesus who just says, live the way you want to, do whatever you want to. You don't have to die to yourself or do anything the scripture says, as long as you believe I'm around. That would be false doctrine. That would be wrong, because Jesus never said that. In fact, on the contrary, he said, if you don't pick up your cross and deny yourself and follow me, there's no way for you to be my disciple. You cannot claim with all of your heart to say, I'm going to be your disciple, Lord, and not pick up your cross, die to you, and follow me. It just cannot happen. What he means is that you cannot follow Jesus if you don't know him, if you don't know who he is. When someone says, and many have said this, don't give me doctrine, I just want to follow Jesus. What I'm finding they often mean is, don't change my view of God, just give me something practical for my life to make it better. Something Christian, something that revolves around Jesus or something. That's what they mean. Because if we change our view of God, see, how we perceive God is how we're going to live. If someone sees him as holy, it changes the way they live, and he is holy. If someone only sees him as loving, forgetting the holiness, then they can be a little more tolerant of certain things if you end up going to an extreme. So we need a balance of who God is in totality to walk the right way and to really know who he is. And the word of God changes us. So that if I'm drawn over towards one side or the other, when there's a scripture that comes and kind of counters my extreme side, or maybe I'm leaning towards a certain side, all of a sudden that scripture is working to kind of bring me back to a center. Look, you know, you can't be all that. You know, you got to follow the Lord. Rules, laws, law. So it's like the word of God gives us a great balance And we've got to understand that balance. Otherwise, we fall into some serious bad doctrine. The religious and liberal leaders of Jesus' time, well, they had their own ideas about religion and living life. They already had their doctrine, you could say. But Jesus was not impressed with their doctrine. He didn't agree with their doctrine. And today, we're going to see that doctrine is important to Jesus. That's what he speaks of. And if we're going to follow Jesus effectively, and if we're going to really mature in our faith, then we need to hold to right doctrine, and we need to beware of bad doctrine. And so verse 5, we read, "Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said to them, 'Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.' And they reasoned among themselves, saying, 'It is because we have taken no bread.'" He's telling us this because we forgot some bread, guys. First thing that we got to embrace or understand if we're going to avoid bad doctrine is we got to be careful how we hear. Be careful how you hear. Sometimes we hear through the experience of our own lives. We filter things. And so something that's true, we don't receive. Like, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. There's this big move now to get away from harsh discipline, or I wouldn't say harsh discipline, obviously not harsh discipline, but spanking. I think it's still a move. It's always been a move, I guess. But I believe in spanking. No, I believe that one of the reasons that some are so against spanking, disciplining in that way, is because of their experience with spanking. And so what's happened is the discipline or the spanking that they received was not justice. It was not done, "I love you, it's going to hurt me more than you," and then there's, "I love you, now behave," you know. There's none of that. Instead, it's the mom or dad who gets more mad, more angry, and then all of a sudden they grab anything, and they go after them, and they catch them, and that's what they call spanking. And so someone says, "Spare the rod, spoil the child." Then someone's thinking through that filter. They go, "I don't receive that. I don't believe that. I don't think that's what he's talking about. That's old. But we have changed. We've grown. We've learned better." And yeah, if you talk about somebody picking up something and beating somebody with it, then yes, we need to grow out of that and learn from that. But the scriptures aren't talking about that kind of spare the rod, spoil the child. They're talking about they need discipline. They need it. And there's an age, an appropriate age, where spanking works. As they get older, it doesn't work. So you got to use it while it does. Because when you use it while it does, it usually keeps you from having to use other methods later when they get older because they've been trained by it. So we need to be careful how we hear. Now the background here is that Jesus has just rebuked the Pharisees and Sadducees for asking for a sign. If you remember last week, they were coming to him and they said, "Hey, give us a sign. Come on, give us a sign, Jesus." And Jesus basically said, "Look, you've had sign enough. You know how to tell the signs in the skies about the weather? And there's been all kind of healings. My teaching, you've had plenty." He said, "No sign's going to be given to you except for the death, burial, and resurrection of myself." When he alludes to Jonah, the sign of Jonah. In another area of scripture, he says, "No sign will be given except the sign of Jonah the well, for as Jonah was in the belly of the well for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth." And so he says, "That'll be the last sign you get, because I'm not going to play your games." And so they've just left, and they've gone beyond that. And now he's departed, and we see a mistake. They forgot to bring some bread. A message. Jesus is trying to communicate something to them, and a misunderstanding. Because they listen, and they misunderstand. They misinterpret everything that he was trying to say. The reason they do is because their mind was consumed by their own concern. We forgot bread. It was an overwhelming concern for them. They couldn't hear Jesus say anything else. They didn't hear what Jesus said. All they were listening for was this one thing. He's talking about the bread. Now, this is how conviction works, actually. They couldn't hear what Jesus wanted to tell them because there was a conviction in their heart. But also it was something that just was a burden in their heart. And sometimes we get so consumed with something that all we're listening for is that one thing. God wants to speak about so many other things, but I'm just listening for this one thing. If he says something about that, I need to hear a pastor say, "Women, get in your place." That's not what the Bible says, but that's how they interpret certain scriptures. Get in your place, woman. Why don't you talk about that? Why don't you talk about submitting to your husbands? Why don't you? Hey, you need to go to another church. It's in the Bible, but we're not going to beat that point or ride that horse. So people are listening for one thing. Some follow the book of Revelation. If the book of Revelation is being taught anywhere, it's like a herd. The book of Revelation is being taught here. Oh, man, it's over here. And that keeps you out of balance. Well, in our church culture, many will hear something like, you're no longer under the law. You're freed from the law. He who has the Son is set free is free indeed. And in our culture, many will hear that and run with it. I'm free. Woohoo! Yeah! But in talking to those guys this past week, Adams Road, and you talk to them about free, they listen to a scripture like, you're not under the law. They don't hear, whoa, I get to run amok. I get to be free and do what I want to. Don't judge me, brother. That's not what they hear at all. They hear, I have been trying to do everything to work to gain righteousness and hope that I can go to heaven. And so when I hear you're not under the law, I don't hear, oh, good, I don't have to obey anything. They don't hear that, like so many seem to. They hear, thank God, I don't have to work for righteousness. Thank God he's counted. I am righteous. And that has caused these guys this past week to just live their lives wholeheartedly for Christ. It inspired them, and it brings to life that scripture. It's his kindness that leads to repentance. It inspired me. Speaking of being light, Jesus said in Luke 8, therefore take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken away. I think the idea is, if you want to listen wrong, you want to interpret however you want to interpret, then go ahead. But I'm going to take away what I wanted to do through you. I'm going to do it with someone who'll hear the right way, who'll hear what I want to say. We need to be careful how we hear. Our life experiences cause us to hear the wrong things or to distance ourselves from right things, right ways of thinking that the scripture is teaching. As followers, we need to learn to take God's word at face value and let it transform us. And if that means a higher calling, an upward calling in Christ Jesus, then so be it. Avoid the habit of saying, yeah, that's what the Bible says, but this is the way I see it. This is what I think it means. Stop doing that and let the Word of God transform you as it intends to do. So they misunderstand what Jesus is saying, and Jesus recognizes this. So in verse 8, Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, oh, you of little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I do not speak to you concerning bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Saying, I meant what I said. How are you interpreting it that way? Well, it's conviction, guilt. But he meant what he said. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. But what they do, it says they reasoned among themselves. You know, we get on these wrong ideas of what the Bible says, or we get in some bad doctrine very often because we try to figure it out ourselves and draw our own conclusions with our own sinful nature and experiences. And we come up with some very interesting justifications, or we would call biblical truths. And they're not necessarily. We can't just sit here and reason amongst ourselves about what the Bible says. We need the Spirit of God. You know, there's a lot we don't understand. We are born natural. And all we understand is what we see, what we've experienced, what we know. It's hard to walk by faith because people abuse you, people take advantage of you. And so, you know, we interpret through the experiences of this physical life. What God wants us to do is to start to think above that, outside of that, to become brand new in our thinking. We need the Lord's counsel. Our reasoning is limited. It comes from the perspective of a sinful nature. It's very biased, in fact. And it has no way of understanding the ways of God. But this Bible is alive. And if we commit ourselves to reading it, those words will jump off at our page. Now, here's how to read it wrong. The words that jump off at your page are for Johnny and Janie and Jesse and my spouse. It jumps right off at me for you. Read that. That's the wrong way. Because when they jump off the page, you might want to go, why has this jumped off to me? I don't feel like I struggle with this. I don't feel like this is for me. So why has it? And maybe you will hide it in your heart and you'll run into someone and man, that was the verse you needed. But maybe there is something in you that God wants to deal with. Because most of the time, through the Scriptures and through our reading of the Scriptures, He wants to deal with you, not someone else. All Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. You can build your life on it. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we need to be careful how we hear. We need the Lord's counsel. We also could use some godly friends. Not just friends who are Christian, because a lot of people seem to call themselves Christian. We need godly Christian friends. Those who are walking the walk, who like, man, I admire your walk. I mean, man, you seem so close to the Lord. And when you speak, you don't have to spend 30 minutes telling me something. It's like, man, that perfect word. You know, the Scripture says, words fitly spoken are like apples of gold and settings of silver. And there are some, they give counsel and you go, that is the word of God. Others, and I'd say most, reason together. Well, I don't know, but I see this, and well, here's my experience, and what about this person? And we reason through it. A lot of power, we sword fight, move on, nothing changes. But I was privileged to be able to spend just 10 minutes with K.P. Yohanan, who is the founder of Gospel for Asia. He's somebody I definitely admire his life. And so I walked up to him and just asked him, you know, you like missions? We want to be able to do missions. We want to do outreach and things like that. How do we know what to do? How do we know, you know, tell me, oh, master, you know, just this amazing guy here. And so he just basically said, Troy, God has a burden in his heart. God has a burden. All you got to do is ask him to give you that burden. It's already there. You don't have to create it. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to come up with something. Say, Lord, your burden for things. I know those are your will. I know those are your plan. Let me in on it. Can we take part in that? Will you burden my heart with the same things? See, that's a man. K.P. Yohanan is a man that I can look up to. His life is an example. His life is a testimony. I've got friends and we reason together like the disciples did. But that was a man right there. Apples of gold and settings of silver. We all should pray to become Christians like that. But you've got to let God transform your lives. We need friends like that. Because if we isolate ourselves, if we're in the habit of isolating ourselves so that I don't take in any, just me and Jesus, no other input. I don't want anyone else to tell me anything, no doctrine from anywhere else, just me and him. Here's what the Scripture says to a heart that's like that. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. Very often I found that people who don't want any input and only want to come up to their conclusions, they've got some strange ideas about the Lord, doctrine. They're left to themselves. There's no outside checks and balances to help counsel them. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." Listening. Again, you can't just settle into your own little niche of people who are less spiritual than you. Or what we do is we get comfortable with a group of people who are just like us. They all agree. They all are the same. And okay, we can watch this show. You can watch this. Okay, good, good. Okay, good. Now we're friends. Now we got our little circle and no one challenges me on anything. If that happens, if you get to that point where there's no challenge in your life, you will stop growing. And you'll always be just like each other until God gets a hold of one of your friends or you. And then all of a sudden, the light's getting a little brighter in that one person. Maybe you've experienced it. You watch someone start to get more holy. What are you doing? You're convicting me. You never convicted me of that. What do you mean you're changing that? What do you mean you're not drinking wine with your meal anymore? You know, just little things that they start to change. You're like, I don't know if I can hang out with you anymore. You're getting too zealous, too righteous. And they start to change and that light begins to shine. We ought to be the ones who are allowing God's word to change us. Isn't it the upward call in Christ Jesus that we're called to? We need friends. We need a counsel. But we need to look for godly examples. People we can reason together, but also that will take the scriptures and not just reason and go, that's my thought, that's my take. And show the scriptures and why they stand there and why it's good. Another reason that they could come up with some faulty reasoning is that they forgot what God had done. They forgot. Jesus reminds them, look back. Remember what's already been done. The 5,000, the 4,000, I fed you. Do I need you to bring some bread? Well, not really. We're just thinking, Jesus, that we've already forgot it twice and you had to do the miracles. You know, we just thought, well, maybe this time we should bring some bread. I don't know what they may have been thinking, but it was on their mind. But here's what we need to understand. Jesus is sufficient. He doesn't need you to bring anything to the table. He certainly doesn't need you to try to take care of yourself the wrong way in the name of, I've got to provide. Got to provide for myself. And so you go back to the wrong way of providing, doing the wrong things, doing something God told you to stop doing. And I'll go back to that, but I have to. The scripture says, if a man won't provide for his family, you know, he shouldn't eat. So I've got to do it. But the scripture also says that God's people who follow him, David said, I've never seen them begging bread. I've never seen them doing without. If you trust in him. So you got to balance them. Yeah, he wants you to provide, but not the wrong ways. And we come up with wrong doctrines because we don't balance the scriptures. We take one, we run with it. And we need the balance. Sometimes we don't always know how God is going to provide. But we do know by his track record that he will. And it just might be that you're experiencing some uncomfortable, awkward times now, but there are times where you need to experience that. Because God is helping you to see that your faith is genuine, real. The trials often serve that purpose. And he's building your faith. If everything was handed to us on a silver platter, well, who would need faith? But he's building our faith. Transforming us, bringing us from glory to glory. Upward call in Christ Jesus. So don't forget what God has done. Don't forget what he's able to do, or we will fall into some bad doctrine.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper, and deeper, I want to know you.
Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off the next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we'd like to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Maybe the teaching you heard is exactly what you're looking for in a church. Then please join us. You can find our service times for Sunday morning worship and our midweek Bible studies at our website. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. Again, for more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you'll be able to listen to or download any of our messages, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to say thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
Somehow I survive, and I wonder why. Wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.